So what are your earliest memories? Have you any memory at all of
being held up on the railings in the front of the house to listen to the shooting going on in town for the Rising? My father lifted me up and held me on the railings outside. There was a little white railing outside our house. And he brought me out and he stood me up on the railing and held me there. And he said, "Now listen to the shooting." And he heard the bip, 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 bip. That's such a gun, he said. And then there was another one, "Woo," and that's a big gun. And just explaining the guns to me, holding me up on the railings.
Oh, my goodness. So, I mean, growing up in Sandymount, yes. Yeah, and the, you know, kind of, you lived a time when there was a lot of trouble, you know, there was trouble, yes, right through the Black and Tans came.
Oh, we
in.
Had the Black and Tans, and then we had the military raid, and my father had made Gerald, my brother, a wooden gun, because there was talk of war everywhere, and he wanted a gun, so he made him this wooden gun. He had got a handle, I think, of the gun, the stock of the gun, and then he built the front bit of it out in wood, and he made him this gun, and he was very proud of his gun. And when the military came to raid the house, "Oh my gun," he says, and he ran up to my mother's room, and he put the gun under a cushion down this on this a big armchair, and he had his gun in there. It was safe in there, and he came downstairs and came out to the two of us were sent out, go outside and watch them from outside. So we stayed out, and there was a big field railing around from the road right down in front of our house and across the end of our avenue, and ended in a red brick wall into our houses. And the old lady that lived in the end house, she had, they had no children around except ourselves, but she had lodgers. She used to keep lodgers. And she had lodgers up in the room upstairs. And at one stage, they had a married couple with a little girl, or a little one about this height, a real delicate-looking little child. My brothers used to call her the blue baby because she was really blue-looking. But she used to be sometimes looking out the window. But anyway, she was missing one day. And they couldn't find her anywhere. There was pandemonium. The blue baby is missing. The child from next door is missing. And we were all out searching for her. Couldn't find her anywhere. And the next thing somebody said, "Look." And here she was looking out the window at us all.
She was inside all the time. Yeah.
She had fallen asleep down behind us, a couch.
Oh, yes.
And she was asleep on the floor. Mm-hmm. And she was quite happy. And here she was looking out the window. And somebody, "Look."
But with all this going on, there must have been... were you scared of this? Were you frightened about what was happening at any stage?
Well, I was frightened about the military raiding the house. We were out in front watching them. And they went in raiding the house because we didn't know what they were going to do. Because they were taking people out of houses and shooting them, actually. And that happened. People were taken out and shot for no reason at all, hardly. In fact, there were three taken in Clondalkin, young men taken out of their houses. They were brought to the road outside, and at the edge, there was a big quarry business there. They were put at the edge of the quarry and shot into the quarry down below. Just for no reason at all. Mm-hmm. And this was happening all over the place. The British military were doing it. And
and do you remember the uniform, the distinctive black and tan uniform?
Oh, that wasn't the black and tans. That was... oh, yes, I remember the black and tans, all right.
Yeah. They were this was the British uniform.
This was the British uniform.
Yeah.
And... it was the British that raided our house, not the Black and Tans. that was the British.
And was there any resistance? Did you notice that, you know, was there a flying column or at any, you know, did you notice any?
There was nothing happening down where we were anyway. Nothing around that I could put my hand on. We lived in a quiet place and there were no children there except ourselves. So we just stayed quiet and watched.
And was there any other elderly people in the house other than your parents? Was your granny or your granddad living
in
the house?
No, my father and my mother lived with us. And my father was a very quiet man. And he'd come home in the evening and we'd all climb over him and tell him we were going to marry him when we grew up and all that kind of thing. I told him I was going to marry him when I grew up. I'm not my daddy. He says, show me your hand. And I showed him my hand. And of course, that my hand was my hand, the only hand I had. And my hand would never change. And I said, look. And he says, do you see that finger? They'd never get a ring small enough for that finger. And I was devastated. It never struck me that my hand would grow.
Yeah.
They were my hands, and they were the hands I'd have.
Where did the Smiths come from, your father's people?
My father's people, they came from Glasthule, out in
Dalkey
direction.
Yeah.
Some of them lived in Dalkey, some of them lived in Glasthule.
Were they always associated with Guinnesses, or did they have...
Most of them were Guinness people.
Hmm.
And my uncle was a secretary up in the laboratory because no ladies were allowed into the laboratory. So he was a shorthand writer and he was deformed,
because
he grew with the hump. And he was taken on there as secretary to the directors.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And then from your mother's side, you said her maiden name
She was a teacher in the west of Ireland.
When you say the west, Clare?
No, she was teaching out in Louisbourg. She was stationed, she stayed in Louisbourg, but her school was up the hill in Boris. She had to climb up a hill up. And she had a little river to cross, actually, going up. And she often got a lift on horseback from some of the people around. They'd take her up, especially if it was bad weather and that, and bring her up to the school. And the school was a country school. And there was a boys' section and the girls' section in it. And the toilet facilities they went outside and there was a wall and there was a place for to go in, and they had holes in this bench along. They used the holes to sit on and everything went down below. And then somebody came along in due course and put gravel over everything.
So it was very primitive
Very primitive.
Yeah. And did your mother talk about the way that she used to teach the children?
Did they have
blackboards?
She was a teacher to the end.
Mm-hmm.
She was, even with us, she was a teacher. Mm-hmm. She'd sit there in the evening and tell us stories. And she expected you to do well at things. And I came home from school and she says, well, how'd you do in class today? It was the end of term or something. And I said, I came second. And who came first? So-and-so came first. And you let her beat you. That's what I got instead of, you're very good to get second. Maybe you'll do better next year. No.
And did your mother ever talk about the reasons why she came to Dublin?
Oh, she got married.
I know, but she got married when she was teaching in Dublin.
She met her sister, daddy's sisters came down to the west to stay for a holiday, I think. And they got to know my mother's family and invited my mother and an older sister to go back with them for a holiday in Dublin. So they went back to Dublin and they went in and they met the Smith family and were introduced to them and met Paddy Smith. And he said, "I'm coming down next year to ask your mother for you." And she said, "You better not go near my mother. She'll throw you out." But he did. He went down and he came back with his wife.
Oh, my goodness. And that's how they
down
met.
There. Yeah. That's how they met.
Yeah. And as soon as your mother came to Dublin, did she find a teaching job in Dublin?
Well, yes, because her mother was a teacher in Dublin also. Her mother taught in the Marlborough Street model schools.
And what was her name?
Murphy. She was, what was her maiden name was, I forget. My mother was Martha Murphy. She was Murphy anyway.
Yeah, yes. And she taught in what school?
She taught in the model schools in Marlborough Street there. The Central Model Schools. You see, there was a teaching college there first where she went to finish off as a teacher. And this was the model schools where the, what's now, I suppose, the National School in Marlborough Street. And she used to finish off there. So that's how she came to Dublin.
And as soon as your mother started having a family, was she teaching at the same time?
Oh, no, she did. She had to give up her job when they had to stop their job when they got married. She gave up teaching in school, but she was always a teacher. I mean, she taught us at home and she was always a teacher.
And what about your own education then? Where was school for you?
Well, I had to leave school early. Because I was the eldest girl in the family. There was one man's salary coming in to keep nine of us. And I was nearly 14 when I was, an aunt of mine said, "They're looking for a girl in such a shop in Balls Bridge." She said, "Would you think of going there?" So I got the job in Balls Bridge working in a shop as a junior bookkeeper in the desk, and the desk that consisted of keeping tabs of the weekly shoppers, you know, that hadn't paid and bills, so on.
What was
that
the name over
thing.
The door?
Tracy. Tracy was the shop. So I was there for a while. I was there for quite a while, and I used to go up and down the Dodder. It was handy for me, you see. I used to run up along the Dodder. And it was very handy that way. And I had a friend who lived at the bottom of Shelburne Road. And I used to go into her for my lunch and back to the shop. And it was handy, very handy. And
so what was then, being sold in there? What were you selling?
Oh, they sold everything, groceries in the shop in Balls Bridge. I wasn't in the selling part of it. I was in the desk doing junior bookkeeping. Good name for it, anyway.
Yeah. So
doing the accounts and with the girl in the desk, helping her and so on.
And the management there?
The owner, Tracy was their name.
Yeah. And was he easy to work for?
No, he was a horrible man. And she was a horrible woman. They were...
In what way now?
Oh, they were uncouth. They were rough kind of people. I know where they were from originally.
But you stuck it out.
I stuck it out as long as I could until I was walking with my father up the Strand Road one night and we met George Rudd, who was managing director of Leverton Fry's all over Ireland. He was in charge of all Leverton Fry's branches. And he's very fond of a walk up the Strand Road at night. So my father and I, my father met him, and I overtook them. I went, Dad used to say, will you come for a walk with me? And I'd go off with him. So the two of us were walking up, and we met this George Rudd, and we were walking along, and he was chatting and talking, and then he suddenly turned to me, and he said, what are you doing now? And I said, I'm working. Oh, he said, are you? Where are you working? And I told him I was where I was working in Ballsbridge. And he said, what are they paying you? I said, 10 shillings a week. And he says, well, now, if you come to me, I'll give you 12 shillings. So he was across the road from us. So I said, all right, I'll come to you. So I gave in my notice in Ballsbridge and came to work 5 minutes across the road from my own house.
And the company's, again, was...
It was much better.
And what was the name of the company?
Leverett and Fry.
And what were they doing?
They were general grocers.
Oh, yes, yes.
And, yeah.
So much grocers. Much the same
much
thing.
Much the same, oh, yes. Much yeah. the same. Yeah.